Hi, this is Jeff Brandler. On today's episode, we talk about communication skills. This is from an interview that I did back in 2014 with the Stay Happily Married podcast, in which I was the guest. Learn all about communication skills, how to communicate better with your partner, and learn the skills necessary to have a useful, warm, and productive relationship.
Are you having trouble with communication? This is Stay Happily Married, episode number 315.
Welcome to Stay Happily Married. Happily Married. Happily Married. Your source for weekly updates on the latest tips and advice to build a happy and healthy marriage.
I'm Scott Blair and I'm your host today. Welcome to the show. Are you having trouble with communication? In relationships with our loved ones, we know that we have to communicate our wants, needs, and feelings to achieve a fulfilled relationship. If we know this, then why is it still so hard? What are some of the things we can work on to better communicate with our loved ones and to make our relationships thrive? Welcome to the show, Jeff. I'm so glad you could join us today.
Good to be here.
Jeff, you are here with us today to talk about couples communication. And in all the interviews I do, that's probably the most common thread that comes up is this issue of communication. So what problems do you see couples experience in their relationship when they lack real communication skills?
Well, when couples lack communication skills, what happens is that there's lots of conflict. And because there's lots of conflict, there's also very little conflict resolution. So the couples will go and they'll have a fight about anything, literally anything. And that can go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth like a ping pong match. And in some couples that escalates, in some cases that becomes violent, in some cases just becomes two people who are just running parallel lives and they're not getting along and the marriage starts to fall apart.
Well, if it's never addressed and they don't acquire any real communication skills, what are some of the short and long-term negative effects that this lack of communication can actually have in relationships?
Well, if the conflicts, if the issues are never addressed, what happens is the couple gets further and further apart. So in my office, what happens is that I see couples where there's been infidelity because partner A or partner B is not getting their needs met. They find person C who's more than happy to meet their needs, and so we have that issue. On another hand, I also see people who just get very much into themselves and they start becoming self-absorbed and use alcohol, use drugs, use other addictive behaviors because they just escape and numb out the issues. The same people also, if they're not using alcohol or drugs, they could become depressed. And again, they're back into themselves. So you just end up with some pretty unhappy people with some not the best coping skills. And ultimately, in many of these cases, they end up in divorce.
It is a very common thing known that we kind of have an issue, especially between men and women and communications in our relationships. So at what point do you see that couples are actually becoming aware that they are having this issue, that they lack efficient communication and it's hurting the relationship?
They tend to become aware of it when one person says, you know, something's up with our relationship. Let's go and fix it. And oftentimes the other partner will say, no, things are just great. But if the one person pushes hard enough, eventually they end up doing something about it. And something may not be going for couples counseling. Something might be, hey, let's read a book. Let's get a workbook. Let's go to a class. Let's talk to our clergy person. They may do a bunch of things before they ever step into a counselor's office.
Have you observed any trends among people that are kind of struggling with this issue of communication?
The major trend that tends to happen is that when stressors kick in, that's when the relationship starts to change. The classic is when, you know, the two-person relationship becomes a third person. They had a child. And that's when things start to pull apart and the stresses start to kick in. And that's the major trend that I've noticed. I mean, I guess the other trend would be the proverbial 7-year itch scenario, which is almost the stereotype, but, you know, it also happens. One other thing to note, which I say anecdotally in my office all the time, is that couples come to counseling about 3 years after they should have come in the first place. And three is not etched in stone as a number, but boy, it sure seems that way.
Right. Well, what do you suggest that couples do to kind of address this communication issue or alleviate it, especially when it sounds like you're kind of saying that predominantly it's one person who starts realizing that they're having this issue before the other?
Ultimately, the one person might come into my office and say, hey, I want to make an appointment. So we do that. Ultimately, that might lead to the second person coming in because, you know, the person's, if you will, the scout. They've kind of proven that I don't bite and the therapy's okay. And they can come in for a couple of sessions. And that tends to work out because once both parties come into the office, it just seems that now we have a fighting chance of talking about what's going on as opposed to them not talking about what's going on.
Okay. And what are some of the specific items that you maybe have them talk about or have them start working on to help avoid or even resolve some of those negative issues that you said may pop up earlier?
Well, one of the first things that I do in my office is get them to talk to one another, which, I mean, sounds pretty obvious, but isn't. And so I want to help them to learn to communicate better. I want to give them some tools to work with. So, for example, I might use I statements, which is I feel, I think, rather than talk about you, which in everybody's house is a fighting word. I want to talk about I, how I'm feeling, how I'm doing. And I like to talk about people talking in smaller doses. One of my ongoing jokes with couples, I have an unpublished book entitled 15 Words or Less, which hopefully they get the joke and recognize that the book is 15 words or less. And that to me is a great way of helping people to have a format to work with. I'm feeling really frustrated about last night's dinner. I really didn't mean to yell. I'm very sorry. Gets an awful lot accomplished in 15 words or less, as opposed to going on and on and on, as many people go to and just continue to talk on and on and on endlessly, and then the other partner clicks off. So the one thing I want them to do is to begin to talk. That's one of the key things. Another thing that I want people to do is also, if they're going to talk, they have to be able to listen. They have to be able to acknowledge and to validate and to pay attention and to acknowledge what they're hearing, because most times couples don't hear one another very well at all. Partner A will talk and partner B will say, oh, so you're talking about this. And the person says, no, I'm not talking about that at all. They don't hear one another. So we have to practice and get couples to practice talking and listening. They also need to practice talking, listening, and acknowledging things that happen in the marriage. It was great that you made dinner for me last night. Thank you. It was great that you helped me with the garbage. I really needed that help. Couples are poor at acknowledgement. They're great at criticism. They're poor at acknowledgement. So those are some of the things that I like to do with people to get them talking and teach them some skills and have them practice and help them practice conflict resolution and negotiation. Many people think about compromise. I think compromise is a bad thing. If I want chocolate ice cream and you want vanilla ice cream, a compromise, you know, maybe gets us the twist, maybe gets us strawberry. That doesn't work for me. I want negotiation. I want 3 days of chocolate, 3 days of vanilla, and one day we do something else. Maybe we don't have ice cream at all. That's a negotiation. Couples most times have no idea how to negotiate. They know how to have conflict. They're not very good at negotiating.
I like that, negotiating over compromise.
Yeah, because you want the win-win. You don't want to win-lose. You want a win-win.
Okay. Well, with couples approaching communication in this new way, so you get them talking, they're starting to use their listening skills, they're learning to negotiate better, what are some of the changes that you're seeing in the quality and the interaction of their relationship?
Once they start talking in a different way, then they can start to talk about the problems. They can start to talk about how they got to the problem in the first place. They're able to acknowledge, and if it's not so hostile and not so conflicted, they're able to acknowledge what I did. Okay, so it's easy for me to blame you. You do this, you do this, you do the other thing. When the conflict's down, I can take responsibility for my actions and look at how I might have affected this, and then I can acknowledge and apologize what's going on. In situations where there's been big ticket items, we can work towards forgiveness because at least we can have conversation about it. You can't forgive someone for doing something, whatever that something is, if you can't communicate about it.
What do you think is the biggest challenge that you see in couples when it comes to communication? I mean, is it the baggage we bring in, kind of what we've learned from our parents and our upbringing? Is it just the way that men and women are wired differently, or extroverts and introverts? Is there one big challenge, just the lack of communication skills? What would you say the number one thing is?
I would say the biggest challenge, I mean, it's all of those factors, sure. I mean, it's the family of origin things, it's the gender differences between men and women. But I think the number one challenge becomes a lack of knowing how to communicate. That if I saw bad communication going up, I didn't learn it there. If I saw, you know, if you watch TV, my God, if we watch TV and see reality TV, we have no idea how to communicate. You know, we have Twitter, which is great. I can tell you an awful lot of things in 140 characters, but which is good for 15 words or less, but that's as far as it goes. Where's intimacy and where's connectedness? Again, if you continue to have communication, you ultimately get intimacy. But in order to have intimacy, you have to have risk.
Well, Jeff, you brought out some really good points today, and it's a pretty broad topic. Do you think there's anything else our listeners should know?
The one thing that I think listeners should know is that, you know, my website is Change is Possible, and I joke with people that that's not just a great marketing slogan. It's true. Change is possible. And a person just needs to have the courage to contact someone who's going to understand, someone that has the right credentials to understand how to do couples therapy. Once you take the risk to pick up the phone that weighs 10,000 pounds and say, hey, I want to make an appointment. I got to talk to you about what's going on in my marriage. And whether you go by yourself, whether you go by with your spouse or partner, it doesn't matter. Take the risk, pick up the phone, make the call, and show up.
In this interview, we covered some very important points about communication. iMessages, listening, acknowledging, and validating, working on empathy, and finding the courage to change. Remember, if you are in a relationship that you want to change, you can. It starts with small action. All those small actions will lead to change. Change is possible. Talk to you soon with more Brandler Bits.